Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. Shane, I'm not going to act like we just didn't have a little extravaganza trying to get this setup happening, but would you mind introducing yourself to everyone out there listening?
Yeah, my name is Shane Church. I am a helicopter tech Monday through Thursday. I build transmissions and test them and record the data. And then the rest of the time, I'm an art director for a software company. I'm pretty busy guy, but I'm 47. So 7 years ago, I needed an adventure, because once you turn 40, you're kind of like, I want to do something. You know, life is short.
Buy a Mercedes.
If I had the bucks.
I mean, you could steal.
Actually, I have a Jeep Wrangler, and that's all I've ever wanted, and I'm very happy.
Aren't you out in Oklahoma?
I'm in Texas.
Oh, you're in Texas? Well, that's all you need out in Texas is a Jeep Wrangler. You just need something to go a little bit off-road when you want to.
Mm-hmm. But I spent a lot of time in Oklahoma out in the woods for the last 7 years. And basically, I needed an adventure. So I chose Bigfoot. It's always been on my mind. As a kid, I watched the Patterson-Gimlin footage through a show called In Search Of, hosted by Leonard Nimoy. My stepfather was watching it. Man, that thing stopped me in my tracks as a kid just watching that. I know there's a lot of controversy, you know, over the footage. But if you really look at it, to me, it's, and I know it sounds funny, but it's in the breasts. Those things move back and forth in a way that it's very natural. And I don't see Hollywood in the 60s creating monkey suits that could do that.
Yeah, people said it was a female, if you really look at it and examine the footage. And I go, yeah, to think about back then, to even think about faking something like that, but then also thinking that, let's make it female. Like that would not come into anybody's perception. Usually if they're going to do anything, it's always male costumes or something.
Yeah, so I thought that was just something that just, it burned into my brain as a child. So when I turned 40, I was like, all right, let's give this a shot. So I joined a group. We kind of didn't like how the group was being ran, and there were five other guys that thought the same. So we branched off and started our own group, Southern Bigfoot Alliance, SBA. No, we don't do small business stuff. Actually my friend Brian, his daughter named it. She was a kid, and we're like, of course, that is our name. Yes. So about 18 months into this, and this is like going out into the woods, and we met up in Falk, the swamps. We've kayaked and canoed just everywhere in the South. So 18 months into it, Brian Hewlin, my dude up in Oklahoma, one of the dudes, he gets a lead on a morel mushroom site. You know what morel mushrooms are?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's a mushroom that, you know, there's a season, and people go out and they pick them, and they're edible. They're very delicious. They're funny looking. But this young lady who's a hunter in Oklahoma posts a picture of her foot next to an impression into the creek bank. And of course, she's getting clowned, ridiculed, you know how it goes. Everybody likes to laugh at this stuff. And Brian's like, I'd like to see those prints. And he coerced her into having him meet her out there. So him and another friend of ours, Tim Autry, they go out there. And they cast two of these 16-inch tracks. There was four. So basically, this dirt road, it goes down and it has a bridge. You cross over the creek, and then it kind of curves around a nice, it's a small lake, actually, out here in this area. But I think they're using that road, you know, because it's an easy trek. The fastest point, fastest way between two points is a straight line. So that's just how I see it. And so I go out there the following day, and Brian notices in between the second and third step, right above, there's a fresh green branch break. And I don't know if you know what green, if people know what green is, they should. A live tree. If you ever try to break a live branch off a live tree,
it's impossible.
It's damn near impossible.
Yeah.
This thing was just snapped off right above the second and third step. And keep in mind, for those that are getting into the Bigfoot subject matter, when these things walk, it's like they're walking on a trapeze. It's like they're walking across, they walk 1 foot like this, kind of in front of the other, almost like they're walking a line. And that's what this thing did. And it snapped off that branch. So we measured the height and we're like, okay, 8 foot, 10 inches. So did this thing reach up and hit the branch? Did it hit it with its head? Did it hit it with its trap? I don't know. All we know is that a 16 inch track leaving individual is possibly 8 foot, 10 inches. So that was spring of 2018. So then we're like, this is our area. We're gonna look for this. Because we actually tracked it back up the road that was much harder and didn't leave tracks, but it left impressions. And there was a 5 foot and change in between the steps. So we tracked that all the way up the road. We saw where it stepped out on this bank because they kind of, they grate that road.
So you were aware what you were searching for. You weren't just like, what is this big thing?
Oh no, dude. It's five toes. It's five toes. Okay. And it looks like a.
Could have been Jason Momoa.
No, not. Here's one from April.
Holy shit.
That is not Jason Momoa. And the thing is, this sand leaves some of the most beautiful impression.
Wait, you pulled that?
Oops.
Did you just break
it? Okay. It's a replica. Okay. It's
okay.
All right.
Oh my God. Dude, I just had like a mini heart attack. I was like, this is crazy. And then
that's why I make replicas.
Good for you. Wait, so
I actually
you
have another one. So anyway.
You casted that out of what you found it when you came across?
So this was actually from April 2020. So we've been going out there all these years. Okay. So spring of 2018 has the initial four steps off the bridge. Man, I can't believe I just did that. That's what I get for holding it by the big toe. And that had our interest. We're like, we're going out here. This is our area. We got to figure this out because this is amazing. So we go back out. We go back out. And then June of the same year, so next month, we find a 20-inch track on the bank, just one, like it stepped right on the river's, the creek bank, right where the 16-inch individual went by. So I'm thinking, okay, is it a male? Is what we just cast, we already have, is that a female? I don't know. Also, if the 16-inch track leaving individual is possibly 8 foot, 10 inches, what is a 20-inch creature going to leave? How tall is that? I mean, there's a math equation you can do. I don't know if it's legit or valid towards these things because we don't have a specimen. There's nothing to study. No one has a foot or and that we know of, right? I mean, nobody does. Nobody has anything like that. But that was like, holy smokes. And not only that, but the first time I ever went out there and the pic, and I wish I could share. I'll send you that our presentation, the PDF. You can actually see where it stepped off the bridge, all of the smaller toes kind of went towards this way in anticipation of touching the ground. Kind of like what we do when we step out of the shower or something. Our little toes, they do a little bit of movement when we're hitting that bath mat, just a little bit. Because then the next, so that was the left foot and right. And then the next left foot track it left, all them toes were straight because it's walking on flat ground. That just screams organic digits, not a mold or a wood cutout or anything of that nature. Plus you're looking at an impression that's in the ground that it's gotta be like 800, maybe 600 to 800 pounds or something like that. The logistics behind faking something like that would cost you thousands. So it's like, you know, is a Jim Henson or Stan Winston's company coming out here and messing with this dude from Texas and some guys from Arkansas and Oklahoma? And like, are they targeting us? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Now, based on the prints that you have found, are you able to check differences between them and see if it's certain areas that you're noticing that there might be, I mean, different variations of them, whether it's just size differences, sure. But I mean, what about like different types of fur or things? Can you pull out of that out of a footprint if it's a different, because I know people's research goes in many different areas.
I'm glad you asked that, man.
I'm new, so I'm just asking.
No, yeah, this is a great question. So Brian, him and Tim, when they first went through on their first initial investigation, Brian did pull two reddish brown hairs out of the track, directly out of the track. So coincidences tell me that whatever left that track most likely left that hair, those two hairs. And we actually sent one of those off to Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who's a scientist at the, was it North Carolina State University? I could be wrong because there's a couple of scientists that I talk about, but he never tested it for us or anything of that nature, and we didn't get it back, but we still have one left. But that was June. So June, now we're like, okay, there's possibly two in this area. And January 2019 hits. And our good buddy Bill, because now we're in like rotation going out there. You know, it's 2 hours and some change from my driveway to get there one way, and check the area. So we're kind of rotating out. We got cameras, you know, trail cams and whatnot, which personally I think they know are there and can avoid easily. Bill gets there and sends us a picture with his wallet next to a 16-inch track. And that's like calling all cars. We all emerged on the area. So what we had that day was, what was it? 11 tracks. You got 16-inch tracks and 20-inch tracks together. So now it's like, okay, this is some kind of unit, parent, child, you know, husband, wife, however you want to say it, a unit. And then the way the tracks dispersed, there was another set of 20 that went around the actual curve of that road. So we're thinking, do we have three? I know we have two, but do we have three now? I don't know. But the best part of that time was this 20-inch individual, track leaving individual, steps off the bridge, one step, goes up on the bank where it's harder, and then comes back down the bank and goes over the creek and leaves this huge impression in the bank. And we cast that, and we cast the tracks before it. And this thing was walking, and like I said, over 5 foot, 5 foot and some change strides. And when you get to the creek's edge and you see two of them pretty close to side by side, they're both right and left feet. To me, that kind of looked like a stutter step, or I mean, you see kids like stutter step before they jump over a ball, or you know, it's something that humans do,
Like a
you know.
trip, kind of.
Kind of like a trip, but an intentional trip, like an anticipation, like a to-do, oh, and jump, you know? You know what I mean? And I think it jumped because that day the creek was ice cold still, completely still. And there wasn't any disturbances. That sand, the last time the water ran and pushed all the sand to where it was, it stopped, and that was it. So this thing, I believe, either stepped, hopped, it did something. But when it went in that bank, we cast it all those toes going through the bank, and it's heel lifted up. In fact, I've got it right here. I won't drop this one.
Hold it by the base.
No, see, now the thing with the replicas is they're kind of thin, because of the way I poured the rubber silicone. Oh.
Yeah, it looks heavy as shit.
It is. So, it's kind of hard to.
Hold it
Okay.
like a Lego Millennium Falcon. I would never drop it.
It kind of is like that. But you can see the toes.
Yeah.
See the toes? They're
Yeah.
going through the mud, dude. Like they're passing
And it's
through.
weird because like the third toe's kind of picked up a little bit.
Yep. I have a theory for that too. But if you look from the side, you can see.
You definitely see the outline of a big toe.
Up here's where the big toe initially hit, and then it's sliding through until it grabs right here, and it's able to. Oh, this is the big toe right here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's slide until it grabs its, you know, full grab to go. But here's the deal, man. They say these things have a mid-tarsal hinge or a mid-tarsal break, like a chimp. You
Yeah.
look at a chimpanzee's foot, the way it bends. This supports that, because here's the heel. So hard to tell on here. Here's the heel. The heel and the big toe, they all hit. That initial hit, but then just the very top two-thirds of the foot are going through the mud. This pops up. That means it's bending right there. It's bending. It's just, it was out. This is like one of our best pieces.
I'm getting anxiety you holding that up, so I'm gonna ask you a question that doesn't have to do
I'm
with
gonna put
that.
it down.
Yeah, please
Oh, I
do.
won't break this, dude. I promise.
I want to ask, when you bring that to the research community, are people shocked? I mean, what is the reception of the research community? Because I mean, there's a lot of people that go to these conventions and things, which I think is pretty important.
Yeah, we do. Of course we do. Brian and I, we got a whole presentation. We spoke last year at the Honubby Bigfoot Conference in Honubby, Oklahoma, on Christ 40 Acres in the Valley of the Mountains. Beautiful place. And our investigative practices towards this and the way we look at it, when you look at all of our evidence as a collective, it's amazing. It's outstanding. It is. And we know it. And we'll say it, and we'll keep on saying that, because we've had some naysayers. One of them was on TV. He
Were they skeptics or were they other
No,
researchers
these
from
are
the
other
big?
Bigfoot people.
Well, that's because everyone has their own independent theory, right?
Yeah, but when someone says that I'm making them, that kind of pisses me off.
I get that.
And I only made the ones that we cast in April of 2020, not the other ones. Just it doesn't make sense. Our evidence, it speaks for itself. It speaks for itself, man. Let me show you something. I got another thing. Now, I don't have all the tracks because we tend to split them up. I want to show you something. So when we were casting those tracks in January, it was so cold that some of our material was not curing. We actually built a little fire and put coals on top of these things to help them cure. And we still lost, I think, three tracks. Like they crumbled like feta cheese or something, that like that crumbled cheese. They just crumbled when we picked them up. This one broke, but I was able to, and I do have the heel piece, but I wasn't able to save this piece right here. But I love this because look how flat that is, right? That's the big toe. This is the guy that went over the creek. This is the foot, the same foot that went into the creek bed. See how flat that is, right?
Was his whole foot flat, like even where the heel is, the arch part?
Yeah, it's flat.
Dude, that'll give you some back issues, I could tell you that. I have a
There
flat
is
foot.
some weird anatomy going on in here, and all of them, like where that mid-tarsal area is, like the skin's been doing this for years. You know, you're gonna get wrinkles and
Yeah.
so on and so forth.
Can you tell how long that print was like maybe put into there when you cast it? Can you be able to date it carbon, not carbon date it, but be able to date when the print was like when that person or that thing was
Oh.
placed that print?
The only thing we really have to judge that by is, okay, so you got to look at this creek bed, and we've had game cameras out there, so we've seen all the wildlife, bobcat, hogs, raccoon. Those prints, when they're on the bank, you've got a certain amount of time to cast those because they're going to get trampled over back and forth with the regular game, wild turkey, you name it, it's out there. Deer. So we think January 2019, we think we were right on the hills, man, because I actually camped out there and it was really cold, like frost on your tent in the morning cold in Oklahoma. It was wintery mixed weather, like I said. And that night I heard some mumbling in the tree line about 1:30, 2 in the morning. That's usually about the time when some activity starts making sounds and what rocks being thrown, that kind of stuff. But I never saw them. I never saw them. But I think we were right on their heels. In June, I think that one had been there for a while because it looked like it had rained, and then it was June, so the sun had baked it and it's kind of crackled. So we think we caught that one really, you know, maybe a month, maybe 3 weeks. But it was high up on the high traffic zone. It was higher up. A deer did step in it though to get a drink out of the creek. So we got three deer prints impressions inside that 20-inch track, which kind of blows my mind, because if you ever seen a deer drink from the creek, you know, they kind of have that stance, you know, they have the, I don't know what you call it, but like the front legs are like this, and their, you know, their back legs. So you've got like three footprints from the deer in that track. So that 20-inch track is it's huge. I mean, it's 20 inches. So And it just blows my mind. And then after January, so that was 2019, we didn't get a track until April of 2020. So we're talking about hundreds of times going out there, driving, putting wear and tear on your vehicle, gas, because we have that much patience and persistence with our group. I have a great group of guys, man. These guys are awesome. And I would have never met them. You know, I got all these best friends that live in Oklahoma and Arkansas. And, you know, it's just, we converge on these areas. In fact, we're going out in 2 weeks to a very interesting area. But this area we cast, we call it Squatch Creek. And we're never going to give up on it. We actually just got permission from the landowner to the north of that area. He has longhorns. And in fact, one of our game cameras caught his longhorn. It was stopped. And I was like, why is it stopped? And then I went to the picture before, and it was a huge cat, not a mountain lion. It was a lion from an African lioness, because there's a lot of big cat sanctuaries and whatnot in Oklahoma. Tiger King. Okay, Tiger King stuff is not too far away from the creek. Not really.
Isn't Texas has more tigers than all the wild of the world, because it's not illegal to have tigers.
You know
what?
I hear that. And that's ridiculous. God, I hope they never get out.
I love that. I love that fact about Texas. That's awesome.
Holy crap, man.
I spent so many years trying to figure out how to order a sloth, because I figured I was the one exotic animal that wasn't banned in my state. Exactly. Exactly. They're $5,000, though. It's not cheap.
Oh, boy.
But they live to be 60-something years older. I'm like, that's a good pet, though.
That is a good pet. That's a long time. I bet you they chill you out. I bet you live a long time by just having a sloth.
That's what I'm saying. It probably eases the heart rate, low cholesterol and all. I have to ask, when you're looking at footprints, or if you're going to go out, do you go out looking like this is an area of high activity and we might be able to find a print? So do you ever get information or tips, like if you post on social media? Okay.
Oh my gosh. The community as a whole, it's just like any other community. You're going to have people that are, or dicks, sorry. And you're going to have people that are great. And that's why we have the word alliance at the end of our group, is because we've allied with other groups that are finding tracks all over the place. There's a guy named Shane Lee. I mean, he finds them out here in Sam Houston National Forest near the Big Thicket area. And they're amazing. We have this group of ladies. They found some tracks that I love, because our tracks, the big toes kind of splayed off, you know, from the other four, just a little bit. There's a little gap, you know. Hang on, let me get that one. This one's great.
It's good because you can show like actual examples. And
yeah, exactly.
Like I said, I'm new to this. I've talked to one guy from Coast to Coast, Mike Cook, I think his name is.
Yeah.
A while back. And then Tom Cantrell. I've
heard that name.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Stephen Hill, of course. Shout out to him.
Oh, I love Stephen Hill, man.
He's a great guy.
That guy's work, and him and Lunsford's work, they're doing some great stuff.
I should be speaking with Lunsford soon.
Oh, I love Will. So each time we've cast tracks, just found something great. So the first time it was the movement in the toes. Second time was, holy crap, man, there's a 20-inch individual. How big is he? The third time was, they're together and possibly another. So it's like, now we got a unit going. And not only that, but the 16-inch track from 2019 and the 16-inch track from spring of 2018, there's a spot on the hill. And I don't know if it's an old injury, a callus. I don't know what it is, but it's the same. It's got the same spot on the hill. So that tells me that's the same exact individual that's walking through that area. It's the same thing. That's their path. So we're learning that. And not only that, but 2 years before we even started going out there, there was a gentleman that cast 16-inch tracks. Well, guess what? He's got that same individual, except that spot on the hill, a little bit smaller. So I'm thinking it's like a callus or something that the tissue keeps building up on, you know. I mean, you walk barefoot all your life, something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So here I won't drop it. This is the replica I showed you earlier. This is the original. Okay.
Wow.
And right here, where's that? Right here. There's a, I don't know if you can even see. You see that hole?
Indent. Yeah.
Yeah, a little indent. Okay, I want to show you something. So that little indent kind of, it was bothering me. I was like, what is that? Okay. So hang on 1 second. Because when I built a clay dam around it and I poured rubber silicone because I wanted to make replicas like the one I just broke over here, which is okay. Because I'd rather break a replica than the original because you can't replace it, right?
Yeah.
So here's the mold that I put around it. Rubber silicone. That hole in the foot is this right here. See that?
So like it stepped on something and might have jabbed into its foot. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you for being obviously intuitive. Okay. Because what does that tell you? What does that tell you that this went into that thing's foot?
Gave me a compliment and I'm going to lose it now. Great.
No, it's okay, man. So, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we played on the playground at school and we'd, sit down and put our hands on the, I don't know about y'all, but in Texas, there's all these little river pebbles they use on the playgrounds. And sometimes you lift up your hand and you'd have a bunch of them stuck in your palm.
Yeah, like gravel.
Because it's tissue, you know? So when that thing, that was either a rock or a stick when the water was flowing, it stopped and got covered up with sand. When that thing stepped, that went into the foot, didn't, no blood or anything. Because look, you can really push into your tissue and your muscles and tendons.
Yeah.
And then when it stepped off, that poking into the foot is what left that impression to look like that.
Kind of like when you're driving over rocks with your car and you notice that there's some pebbles stuck in the tires. Same thing with the foot. I mean, they've got to be coming down with a whole lot of pressure too.
Right. And because it's a 16-inch foot and all this skin is stretched out across that, that gives it a wider area for something to push in and not actually break the skin. So it probably didn't even feel that. And to be honest, I cast my own footprint in my backyard because I wanted a direct scale from human to these beautiful things. And when I did that and I pulled my cast and cleaned it off, in my big toe, I got this huge dent in my big toe. It's because there was a rock there. I didn't even feel it, but it's in the impression. So people are trying to say that what we have is not real or these things don't exist. People, it's obviously there if you look at it.
Can I ask what your theories are that you've developed about some of these prints, whether it's like this certain distinctions or certain things, characteristics about it that you've started to notice, like some of the stuff you've explained, but more stuff that you would be like, you're thinking about, like what it could possibly be.
Like, no, I mean, I think it's, that's kind of a tough question, but, well, let me
not what the actual creature is, but like, if you come across like a certain anomaly in one of the prints, you ever start to wonder, like maybe, or even look at like specific, like the alignment of the toes, sometimes the length of the toes. I mean, like for instance, you mentioned a 20-inch cast. It doesn't necessarily have to be a big creature. I mean, I'm basing my assumption off of like, I'm 5'8", but I have a 13.5 shoe. So that logic doesn't add up, but it's just a print. So I'm wondering if it could be something like, I started thinking maybe it's a regular height compared to their species, but just has an anomaly. Is that an alpha male thing? You know what I mean?
I think what I think about as far as that goes is the depth. So I've walked on that bed, creek bed, the same days that we've cast tracks barefooted and be 240 pounds. And man, I don't leave nothing. I don't leave nothing in that creek bed. I don't leave a deep impression. So that's just telling me that it's heavy. Whatever's walking through there is very heavy.
Do they walk side to side though? Like by right, like hands, like if you were holding hands with someone, they walk side to side? Because I would think if you're a pack leader, wouldn't they have to follow in your footprints, or wouldn't they have to follow behind you in some distinct manner?
I think these things are so strategical that it wouldn't be like that, because that would be way too obvious because they're big, right? I mean, you've even got videos where they drop off, or it sees, like, you see one bend down, come up, and they put a little one on their back. Like, they're so, like, even they're strategical with their little ones. I mean, dude, I haven't even seen one yet. But Brian and Tim, they have in an area that we camp in Far East North or Southeast Oklahoma. And what they said they saw looked like an Aboriginal person or a Native American, but like dark gray skin and huge. So, and you get reports of them looking kind of like a monkey or a little bit longer snouts like a baboon or something. Or a mandrill. You know how mandrills have all the colors, you know, and they got the snot.
We got
Not the
those,
color.
they got the incisors, right, with the jaw,
Yeah.
yeah.
So, and we're just, I don't know, man. I really, I'm doing this because I really want to get a really good up close encounter. And I may be stupid because you hear horror stories too, but I don't know, with the guys I go out with and I trust and we have each other's backs, we're safe. But
Can I
as far
ask
as
if
the, yeah, go
Oh,
ahead.
no, go ahead, 'cause you probably got an important point.
No, as far as like the attributes and whatnot to the footprints, like Will Lunsford, they're finding three toe tracks out there. There's people that have talked about six toes, like up in Missouri. And there's no telling what could be happening in the gene pool. What if the gene pool gets crossed and they get these weird anomalies, like as if people do, like an inbreeding or something? I don't know. It's fascinating, and I don't ever see myself stopping looking for these things at all.
No, good on you. Good on you. I was going to ask, do you think the government knows about them and has been covering them up a little bit? I'm in that boat a little bit. I'm like, if there is a secret, the American government, no offense to them, but they definitely will keep that thing. I've heard of kill squads mostly, and I was like, all right, I believe that. I had a guy on my show, and this I can base in academic research. Just when it comes to something plane based, nothing explosive or anything like that. A researcher in the UK, you can look up his episode. He's been on twice because miraculously, after he did my show, his sight was restored after 40 years. And I was like, that's crazy. He had a firework blow off in his eye. And I didn't know it. I'm meeting you for the first time. So I was just talking to the guy like how I'm talking to you. And I noticed he was doing this, like staring at me. And then I didn't hear from him for a couple of weeks. And I was like, I guess he didn't like the episode. And then he was like, no, I had this amazing thing happen. He sends me a newspaper in his town that his sight was restored after 40 years. And he was like, I did this kid's podcast and my sight came back. I was like, oh my God, don't tell people that. I don't want people showing up at my house thinking I got magical powers. But no, he literally is just, he would go down to one of the rivers down there in the UK, and then nobody knows what happens to the Vikings. We just don't know. They just kind of vanished. So everyone's like, there's, we don't, that's kind of been the history's way of writing it. Well, he was searching these bog sites and found that there was remnants of iron that was left from Viking era. And he brought it to his college down there and had a researcher look at it. He goes, yeah, it's definitely from something around the time period of the Vikings. And he goes, you can take it back now. And he was like, why don't you guys want this? This would show that their Vikings, this would be their last date that they were in this area. We can do an investigation on it. They're like, oh, no, that means we have pagan roots and we're not looking into that. And they just pushed him away. And so he has all this stuff and he's been trying to talk to newspapers about it and everything. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. It doesn't need to be government conspiracy. It's just people that don't want to acknowledge a certain part of whether it's a species or whether it's something ancient or whether it's something this, because it might have a horrible sting to it or stigma to it. I don't know.
Well, let's think about this though too, man. Just recently, what was it? Not even 2 years ago, when the Navy released that Tic Tac video of that thing that was flying around
I
and they couldn't
know.
keep up with it,
They spent so many years telling people they were
telling them that these
crazy.
don't exist, they don't exist, you guys are crazy, blah blah blah. And then what happened?
As soon as they said it didn't exist, or they did,
they rolled over a little bit and said, okay.
As soon as they said it existed, I immediately go, I don't believe you. Now I just don't believe in the whole thing. It's something else now.
Well, I'll tell you what. In December, when we were driving to one of our spots in the Kayamichis, we were going down 66. I know you don't know where that is, but we were going to turn right on 259.
Route 66?
No, oh. It's not Route 66.
Okay, I was about to say, every country person has made a song about it.
I know it's in
it.
The 60s. It's in Tallahassee. I think it might be 63.
Let's do safe bet 69.
Okay, let's just do that.
Safe bet.
So you've got me and Gus, and then Bill and Darren are behind us, and we turn. Man, as we're turning, sir, as we're turning and looking into the woods, and you got the rows of pine trees, about another pine tree in height in the sky was a disc. A straight up disc, a disc. And its lights were amber, and those lights were moving in a carnival fashion. And I was like, that's either a tower or that's something else. And Bill was like, that could have been a military helicopter. I go, it could have been. I mean, I work on helicopters myself. But everything I've hit the guys up with at work is, and what they've shown me looks nothing like that at all. And I did go back there during the day and check to see if there was a tower or anything of the like. Nothing. Zero. That was a disc. It was moving slow. And the way the lights were, it was very ominous. And I was like, it's like that damn thing is scanning the woods or something. So, there's stuff in the sky, dude. There is.
I got some episodes I got to send you. There's some crazy just experiences I've had doing this thing. Jorg Arnu is his name. The first time he was on, he was just a guy who has a site that looks very conspiracy, but honestly, it's so just, he didn't believe in aliens. He didn't believe in anything like that. And he was like, all I do is I fly my drone and take pictures of Area 51. And we were talking about, I was like, how do you, like, the government, like, acknowledges it, like, a month after we talked. But I was telling him, I was like, there's all this going on. I started bringing up the UAP subject, and really, I've talked to everyone from that area. And I was like, I've really tried to, like, you know, I think this is questionable, this is questionable. He goes, I don't believe in aliens. He goes, I'm just telling you, the government has cool spy planes. Then not even, like, a month later, the FBI raided his house and destroyed $15,000 worth of his stuff and never explained why, and he's still in a lawsuit with them to this day. I had him back on a month later to talk about it. He was like, I don't know what's going on with the government. I was like, I know. That's the thing, is that they keep secrets, and that's my whole thing of, like, trying to pry into those. So that's why when people bring up, like, with Bigfoot, they think the government knows about them. I was like, I 100% can agree with that.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to talk about, because I like to, I draw, I'm an artist. That's my artwork back there. But
that painting's really good. That's yours up there. The pink and it looks like a.
Oh, that's actually my little brother Jeff painted that for me. Yeah.
Is that the only one up there that isn't yours that I complimented? I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay, man.
The other stuff's good too, but that one just caught my eye because the colors.
That's all good. me and my brothers, we all do stuff like my little
I can't
brother Josh.
Tell if that's in the background. Is that a Beatles thing, but it's like in a different style?
Where like
the blue
up here?
The blue.
That
below.
Right here?
Below the painting I complimented.
Oh yeah. That's the Beatles, except it's a bunch of Bigfoot.
That looks really good. That is really good.
that's a tin sign that my step kiddo got me. But that big green guy over there, that's me.
That's good too.
But my little brother Josh, like, he made this for me out of wood, like. Batman silhouette.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
It's dope, right?
Does he have a company? Does he do anything on Instagram?
He does have a company. He's been making these huge, like, 8-foot letters that people can rent that have lights in them and stuff for, like, I don't know, 2000 whatever, if you are prom or yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think he does. It's called I should know. I did his marketing and logo for it.
I'll get you to add the tag on at the end when
oh,
we get
Gunnies.
The links and
it's
everything.
Called Gunnies.
I want to ask about when you go to these conferences, like, from, have you learned more from researchers or have you learned more from your own personal development? Like, can you take me to when you first started compared to what you know now, like all the things you started picking up along the way? Yeah.
So first starting, you know, you'll attend like these little, conferences or gatherings at museums and whatnot. And you're hungry, you're eager. Cause you're like, and you hear all these different ideas and you're like, I just don't know. I don't know. So you just have to keep on being a patient and going out into the woods as much as you can, because dude, what's it? 18, 19. So out of 6 years, we've only cast tracks four times. Out of 6 years. And that's going out there and checking it and running cameras, and you just have to be very patient, because the woods are theirs, not ours. And we look like idiots out there, I bet. But you know, you start learning a little bit. The tracks really pushed our investigative style and what we're looking for. It put it into high gear because we had it. You know, there's people that do this for 10 years and they never even get the cast. I feel very blessed that we got to do this, and as a team. But and it wasn't until last year that we actually spoke. It took 7 years for me to actually, me and Brian, we did it together, to actually speak about our evidence. And it was amazing. I think that was the top, to be honest. But all the in-betweens is grinding, being in the woods, sounds, using the spectrograph to break your sounds into colors so you can see where, and then also has the hertz on the side. You can see the hertz. You can see the coyotes stay right here. And then this thing we got's like this, you know, and it blows your mind because there's nothing that sounds like that. We've got, and I'll send you the link, man, but it's called the Old Well Audio is what we call it. Cause literally out in the woods, there's an old well, you know, like that shit that girl came out of.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought of. I was like, I wouldn't go near
it. That kind of stuff. Yeah. Out there. So Brian was out there hunting with his son, and this thing was going on all weekend. And, what he caught was one, it's like a big well. And then you hear another one, it's either smaller or female. And it responds. And then right after it stops, every coyote around goes crazy. Like a yelping howl, belting out, like it's almost like they're going, "Oh my God, we gotta get out of here." You know, kind of a thing. I listen to it every week, because it still makes my blood run cold. So, but I'll send that to you. Actually, I'll send if there's a link, you can put it in with this right here.
Has any researchers enforced your opinion or changed your ideas of the prints that you've been casting? When I say that, I mean, like, you mentioned a hair that you found in one, mm-hmm. but does that give you a better depiction to be able to visualize what you're seeing when you're looking at a print? Like, what could have made this? Could it have this type of body style? Could it have these types of qualities or features to it? Because I'm sure plenty of researchers have come across hair or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. For me, like I went to art school and I drew naked people for like two semesters, all shapes and sizes.
You're not talking about their private regions, right?
All kind of, dude. Mine.
It's always the guys with the smallest that get up there to have the most.
Well, there
courage.
Was one guy, no matter where I put my easel, I was drawing his ass. No matter where I put it. I was like, I'm gonna try, you know, over here in this corner this time, maybe. Nope. It's like, there it is, buddy. Damn it.
Yeah, full moon, baby.
So I studied anatomy because I went to the school to kind of learn 3D CGI animation. I ended up picking up graphic design and taking that venue. But studying anatomy is my thing. I love it. And looking at these prints in that beautiful red Oklahoma sand. I mean, even the raccoon tracks out there, you can see the life pumping in them. You know, it's just it's like a beautiful canvas, a natural canvas. That's just, it's like the Red River. It's that sand. And the only thing I've gotten out of it as far, because I don't know what they look like. I don't know what these specific guys, I don't know what they look like. All I know is their big toe is splaying a little bit from their little toes. And in humans, if you see that, that's usually a problem for the person, because that's indicative of you not wearing shoes all the time and being kind of heavy, you know. And these things don't wear shoes. 8 to 10 inches wide foot. That's at the fat part, man. That's a huge foot. So all it tells me is these things have weight and mass. That's all I really know right now. And everything that they've talked about, the mid-tarsal break, how it bends right there, kind of like a chimp. I think what we have totally supports that. I think what Shane Lee has over in Sam Houston National Forest supports that. And then you got the mud. The mud moves a certain way. You've got tissue and tendons and muscle and everything. It's going to move that mud a certain way. Shane Lee has that. One of our guys, Darren, another guy were camping near the Lone Star Trail. They ended up smoothing about a quarter mile of it or so and checking it, you know, periodically because, you know, it's just a nice canvas, right? And they ended up casting some little tracks, some little guy tracks at like 2:30 in the morning. I mean, I don't think anybody's letting their kids run around the Lone Star Trail at 2:30 in the morning.
What kid has a foot that big?
Do what?
I said, what kid has a foot that big?
Right. It's not as big as like these 16 or 20s, but it almost looks human. But then you see that mid-tarsal break. You see where the mud got pushed. That means the heel lifted up and they propelled forward with this much of their foot with their heels popping up. So it's just awesome when you see that. And that's over there. These tracks are over here and they've got that, you know, and so on and so forth. And what's really, and you were talking about the journey earlier, you know, from not knowing nothing to actually getting some evidence and trying to figure this thing out. After we spoke in October, the flood of people that we got to talk to was amazing. You got to see pictures. This lady showed me a picture from the ground she shot during the daytime of a cave in New Mexico. Because New Mexico's got some of them caves that are kind of far up, you know, the side of a sheer cliff or whatever you want to call it. Man, it's completely dark. It's the daylight's coming just to the edge. And all you see is this huge, you know, it's got the brow.
Yeah.
You can see the sunlight from here and parts of it. It's just looking out of that cave at her. And it just made the hair on the back of my neck just stand straight up. I've never, and that's part of it, man. You get to share with like-minded people that also have things that you've never seen before. And it's just outstanding. And people that go about their day-to-day and the concrete jungle have no idea what is out in the woods. I'm telling you.
I mean, even if you're analyzing footprints of Sasquatch or if you're analyzing footprints of a raccoon, it makes you view the world differently, because a lot of people just walk over these things without even paying any attention to them. Maybe a hunter bends down to pick something up and sniff it or something like that, and deer walk this way 2 miles an hour or something. But when you're actually looking at a print, you're actually making molds of it, is a different thing, because most people just neglect these things every single day. We don't even, I mean, looking at your footprints in sand is cool for a lot of people, but we don't think about it in the woods or anything.
Let me show you how crystal clear this sand is. So right above that, where that rock or stick went in, there's a little bitty twig with some leaves. Okay. See if I can see that little twig.
Yeah.
With the leaves, the two leaves.
Yeah. Why is that so detailed? Damn.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That sand is just like, and when I see these tracks, dude, it's like coming downstairs on Christmas Eve.
I know. I see your face light up. It makes me excited.
And all the presents are for you. You know, it's like, but I wanted to show you this too. So on the fourth toe, see that right there? That's a stick. The stick is still in there. Do you see the stick?
Yeah.
That dark spot. So when that thing stepped on the stick, it left an impression in that toe. That's tissue, my friend. That's tissue.
Yeah, if people were going to try and create that, they could not do that. There's a lot of factors they couldn't do.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It makes me question, because the Gimlidge footage, I mean, I'm probably saying it wrong, but there's like, that's everyone's first initial impression into the subject, I feel like. I think it's important to our culture. Because they're obviously, it just, like, I remember being 6 years, 7 years old watching X-Files and things of that sort. I don't think it did a good service to the subject, but it was entertaining to watch. But it sparked up so many people's interest, where if you ask somebody about a paranormal experience, if you ask somebody about a experience, they like, an, like, I don't know, a cryptid experience or anything you want to say, They go, I don't know about that, but I did have this one thing I can't explain. And I'm like, please explain that one. And it's usually something along the lines of most of the time it's paranormal from what I've looked into. But then there's other things, like people talk about a creature that they saw and they couldn't explain, a big something, big black in the shadows. It just, they couldn't explain it out in the wilderness somewhere. Where I start going, you know, it just makes you think a little bit. But the Gimlet footage, that everyone has seen it. Everyone knows what you're talking about when you bring it up. Why is it so controversial now? Was this always controversial, or was it
Oh
just
yeah.
okay?
Even when it first came out. So Roger Patterson, he's the guy that came up with the funding for them to go out and film looking for a Sasquatch, whatnot. So just on his personality or his character alone, there's a little bit of shade in there, you know, as you see, as you read and kind of see. Bob Gimlin, he was there. Because he's a cowboy and he was there to protect Roger from, I mean, God, there's everything in the woods, dude. Like a big cat, he'll sneak up on you, won't even know.
That's why in Alaska they got bear dogs and keep your kids safe.
Exactly. So Gimlin was, he's just there for the ride, man. He's just doing his job. I think, man, I think Patterson might have not messed up his credibility. But made it kind of questionable just because of the shade in his character. And I mean that just happens. But I think the footage and coming from a anatomy guy that I am, man, that screams real to me. I mean it, and it gives me the willies.
Do we have anything culturally that is well known by a lot of people that explains the topic better than that?
As far as the Patterson-Gimlin footage or just Bigfoot in general?
I mean, that represents the topic, the footage. I don't think anything represents the topic better than that footage.
No, I don't think so. You have the Freeman footage, which people say was fake, but again, I don't know, man. The way that thing lumbers, and I just, you know, in my personal opinion, I tend to more sway toward that being authentic. But there might be someone out there that might say, oh, Shane, you're stupid because this, and that. Well, I mean, that's your opinion. And when you get down to it, we still don't have a specimen. We don't.
Why didn't that guy send the hairs back to you?
Well, I'm not going to
You're the
sell.
fourth person I've talked to that has said that to me before.
For
So,
real?
yeah, that they've sent hairs away and it's gotten taken from them. And I'm pretty sure there's an article about it as well, too, about this. There is a place, I don't know if it's Oklahoma or not. They have a giant statue of a Bigfoot. But one of the guys there, one of the rangers, talked about sending hair samples away and someone had confiscated it and never gave it back to him.
Well, now we actually sent it to a guy that's openly into the subject matter and a scientist, right? Like for a college. So we thought this is probably our best route, but I mean, he could have sent it back, man. He could have just said, I want to do it and just sent it back, whatever. But
To keep it, that's the thing. Why keep it?
I know. I know. People like to keep things. Trust me.
This might
But
be a
we do
stupid.
have.
Oh, go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, we do have another scientist we're dealing with. His name's Darby Orcutt. He's amazing. He's an amazing guy. And what he's done is he's grabbed a bunch of other scientists with different practices in their background, and they've kind of formed together to research this subject matter. And they have a form you can fill out about your evidence. And if they like it, you know, they'll get a hold of you and say, yeah, we want to test that right now. So the other hair most likely will be going to Darby Orcutt. And oh, I also have this, dude. So the track I showed you with the stick and the hole, you know, the
Yeah.
tissue. So there were five tracks on that day. The fifth one never got cast. So I went back out that week. I drove back out Friday to camp and I dug that track up. I brought it home. Darby Orcutt told me to keep it in food containers in a dark, cool place. It's still there because I'm thinking there's got to be something in there. Like, what if the sand operates also like a loofah or something. I mean, we're constantly shedding skin cells and we make dust in our house, you know. Why can't these things shed something when they're walking, you know, skin cell or anything that might have a DNA, DNA within it. So, but he has a guy, and then I haven't got to furtherly discuss this. I think he's more into other evidence right now, but I believe he has a guy, because him and I were talking about it one day, that can sift through sediment on a microscopic level and look for sign that way. And man, I'm not getting rid of that dirt until he's ready for it. If he's ever ready for it. If not, I still have it. Because I thought about getting an eDNA test done on it, but Darby explained to me that a lot of the eDNA stuff is for existing things that are already documented. Like, yeah, we could take this water. You got perch, you know, blah, 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 blah. Deer drinking out of this, you know, it's already on. Those sequences are already documented. And we're talking about something that doesn't have, that we know of, documentation on its DNA that's legit or to the public, I should say, open to the public. Like, hey, this is Bigfoot. This is what it looks like. You know, there you go. Here's your pamphlet.
Here's your pamphlet. I just got a couple more questions for you, but one is about the academics that are involved in the subject, whether they're paleontologists or people that are actual, their field of research is looking into ancient older things. Did they kind of talk to you about this and give you a better perspective on it as well, too? Like knowing that it might have some ancient roots. I feel like that always gives me a little bit more comfort and belief knowing that there's something older that's here.
That's a really good question. And I came across something, I think it was last summer. So there's a guy, do you know about Glen Rose, Texas at all? You ever heard of Glen Rose, Texas?
I've heard of the name.
Dinosaur Valley. Like there's
now
actually
I've heard of that.
Fossilized dinosaur tracks.
Yeah, it's where we get our fuel from.
In Glen Rose. Exactly. So there's a, and it's not out there for you to see. I believe it's in their museum that they have, but they've got dinosaur tracks. And then they've got these five toed tracks that are big, right? And the big toe is splayed from the other four. And I just haven't had the time, but I'm going to take, you know, these casts and I'd like to visit with that gentleman, whoever curates that museum or whatnot, and see if I can't take measurements from that and then maybe give them a replica like, hey, this is what we're casting now, and kind of go back and forth on that and see what kind of door that opens. Because, I mean, Texas is not too far from Oklahoma. So the same species could easily, you know, traverse all this area. And I find that very interesting because I live in Burleson, which is just south of Fort Worth, and I'm not far from Glen Rose, about 45 minutes or so. So that's something I'm going to definitely tap into, hopefully this coming up month or next month or something. I'm so busy, dude. I can't even think straight sometimes.
I only got one more question for you, and I do appreciate the time you gave me and glad we could finally get this into the books and everything. But it's like I said, this is going to be a stupid question, but it's going to be probably the most obvious one, which is what about finger tracks or hand tracks on trees or anything like that? Have you ever looked into that or saw? I mean, I guess because Bigfoot, you think of the feet and everything, but I'm just wondering, like, because I know they have to use branches to, like, when they walk around, they have to grab something or move something or make an indent that's just abnormal compared to anything we know.
Yeah, well, you hear about people seeing, like, a line of trees that are broken, twisted, green branch breaks, like, 7 foot up. As, like, is it a marker? I don't know. As far as a handprint? I don't think you can get one off of that, but there are handprints that have been cast. And they're pretty amazing too. They kind of look like our hands, but they don't look like our hands kind of thing.
Wider palms.
Yeah. I've seen one with a wider palm. I don't know that the fingers, trip me out. I think, there's one that not this part, but just the fingers were stuck in the mud or whatever, and they cast that. You can actually look, you can find that, you can Google that and it'll pop right up. But that was pretty interesting. I'd love to find that. The closest thing we found to that, but we didn't cast it because we were green. We didn't have any casting material. We were on Mountain Fork River in Oklahoma. We pulled over to a bank because we saw some little impressions, little five-toed impressions that walked 80 yards down the bank and into the brush into a persimmons tree, which bears fruit. So that made total sense. And I don't think anybody's letting their kid walk on the Mountain Fork River. It's like totally infested with moccasins. There's no way a kid's just walking around on the riverbank. So then we get down to the what we call the rock bar. It's all these big, all these white rocks. It's literally like an island made of white rocks. And you see these big indentions going across the rocks. So it almost looks like, hey, is there like this kid, this Bigfoot kid that's not supposed to be leaving? And mama came across and ran across there to say, hey, what the hell are you doing, man? I mean, I don't know. It's just speculation. But we went across and started going up that hillside. And what we saw was it looked like foot, knee. It looked like if one of us was climbing something sheer enough, and there's pine needles and dirt, and you're just making all these impressions as you're going up, is what we saw going up this hillside, except it was, I don't know, 8 times bigger than us, what we would leave. So I wish we would have cast something there. We might have gotten a great handprint. I don't know. We were just kind of just blown, minds blown over all that information we got from right there. And I think after that trip is when we started carrying plaster with us. Like I said, it was like one of our early times we went out. So that first year. But yeah, I'll be looking for any kind of things, anything to cast, man. I'll cast it. I've got alligator tracks from the area. You name it, man. I cast everything.
Well,
Gives you a lot of information.
Shane, thank you so much for giving me time to do my show. Is there a place where people can find any of your links, for your group and also for any other research or anything like that you'd like to promote?
Yeah, if you want to hop on Facebook and look up Southern Bigfoot Alliance, we're a private group. We try to keep all the idiots out because there's people out there that say stupid stuff and try to make people mad. We try to steer clear from that, be positive and work together. So Southern Bigfoot Alliance. Brian and I do a podcast called The Cryptoholics Show. It's on YouTube. It's basically a branch from the SBA group. And we've had some pretty good guests on there. And yeah, we try to keep up the page as much as we can. We don't post every time we go out because every time you go out, you're not going to find anything. Sometimes you're just not going to find stuff sometimes. So we get them big landmarks. We definitely post that, and we like to talk about it with our group. So come on in and talk about it with us.
Well, Shane, I'm going to link all those links in the description. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank. Stay tuned for our next episode.